had a bit of a discussion with God about this message this morning. Because I have to say, I didn't really want to bring it. Because a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday evening, I shared what God has been doing in my life over the last couple of months. And I shared it then, and then I was, you know, praying into what I should say today, and I wanted to kind of bring something a bit different, and I just, God just said, no, you've got to stick with it. This is the message you need to bring. And so apologies to those who were here at that on that Sunday night who may hear some things again, but God has been challenging me from John 3:30, where John the Baptist says about Jesus, he must become greater, I must become less. I've got a question for you this morning. Do you want more of Jesus in your life? Some of you? If you answered yes to that question, can I ask you another question? Do you want less of yourself? That's not always quite so easy, is it? But you know, God has been showing me so much that more of him means less of me. And God has been speaking to me over these last couple of months and about surrender and humility and dying to self. And you know, I know we've heard, most of us will have heard this kind of stuff before. I feel that it's key to experiencing more of God in our lives. But you know what? God has the right to demand our submission, but he doesn't. Actually, what he wants to do, and I really felt this very strongly this week, that the message he wants me to bring is that he wants us to come. He wants us to draw us, to invite us into intimacy with him. Because actually, allowing him to be greater, that's what it means. It means allowing more of him into our lives, allowing more of who he is to affect our lives. He wants each one of us today, and this is my prayer today, that every single one of us would hear the voice of Jesus saying, come, come, come. Do you believe this morning that Jesus wants to do more in your life? Do you believe he wants to use you more? That he wants to reveal more of himself to you? When I was preparing this, I had a real strong sense. I had a reminder of a scene from Oliver Twist. And Oliver is all the kids in the workhouse have been given their portion of gruel. And then Oliver goes and asks for more. Do you remember that scene? Please, sir, can I have some more? And the response is, more? You want more? And I just felt that, you know, there are people here, and I think that's how you feel. You feel like Oliver Twist, like almost you've not really got any right to ask for more. And when you come to God for more, you're almost expecting that, more? You want more? Who are you to want more? God really wants you to know this morning that his heart is for more. He wants to give you more. He wants you to experience more. But what gets in the way? I do. You do. We do. We are the ones who get in the way of receiving more. Andrew Murray said, "The condition of God's blessing is absolute surrender of all into God's hands. If our hearts are willing for that, there is no end to what God will do for us and to the blessing God will bestow." Surrendering all. William Booth said, "The greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender." As Daryl said last week, every single one of us that has Jesus in our lives has the power of God, resurrection power of God in us. But are we allowing that resurrection power to work? Are we allowing it to do its work in us and through us? This morning I was praying, and I just felt God put this phrase into my mind. God can only work with what we will give him. God will only work with what we will give him. In the feeding of the 5,000, he worked with what he had. the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Now we know that God can create nothing, something out of nothing, because that's how creation happened in the first place. But I really felt that when we're talking about God doing stuff in our lives, he can only work with what we give him. We have to come to him. We have to surrender to him, to give him. It's giving up in order to gain. Most of us don't really like the word surrender. It doesn't sound very positive, does it? You know, especially when you look at the definition, the act of giving up something or giving control of something to someone else. I don't like that because I like to be in control. Anybody else here like to be in control? Yeah, yeah, in control. But surrender means we give up the right to be in charge. That's not an easy one. It's not easy for me. But let's be really honest. When we look at our lives and the what we've achieved by being in charge, how's that working for us? If your experience is anything like mine, my job of being in charge doesn't really always go too well. It's not working. So what's the alternative? Well, we're not really in control anyway, folks, let's be honest, are we? When God made man, he made Adam and Eve to be in relationship with him, to be intimately in relationship with him, to have that friendship with him. But when Satan came to tempt them, he tempted them to be in control of their own destiny, to become their own gods, to be able to take charge of themselves, to make their own choices. And that's what they got. Self-sufficiency, self-control of their own destiny, if you like. And how did that go for them? Not particularly well. And the problem is that we've inherited that nature from them of that desire to be in control, that desire for self-sufficiency and independence. But we were never created for that. That is that sinful nature that has actually been crucified on the cross with Jesus when we give our lives to him. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When Jesus died, he broke the power of sin and death. Amen. Yes? So when we come to him and give our lives to him, we place our lives in him so that the power of sin and death over our lives has been broken. We are born again with a new nature. So we are now free from that nature that we inherited from Adam and Eve that is all about me. The old has gone, the new has come. The problem is, the old is still hanging on, isn't it? I shared this a couple of weeks ago, but on a journey on the A47, there's a lamppost, and on this lamppost, there's ivy climbing up the lamppost, but the ivy's been cut off at the bottom, and it's dead, so it's brown, but it's still there. And God just spoke to me through that image that, you know, our lives can be very much like that. The ivy, if you like, is all the our life of sin, our sinful nature, and it's been dealt with at the cross. It's dead, but it's still there. And it's still hiding the image of God in us. It's still hiding the real us. It's still hanging on. And we need to be able to cut that down. We need to ask Jesus to come and help us with that transformation process of getting rid of the old stuff that's hanging on. The transformation begins at that point when we come to Jesus, but it's just the beginning. The process of change requires more of him and less of us. We need to come before him and humble ourselves, recognizing that we cannot do any of this without him. Would you agree? Andrew Murray said, humility is the displacement of self by the enthronement of God, where God is all self is nothing. He also said, the deepest humility is the secret of truest happiness. So humility is really just acknowledging the facts. We're nothing without him. It's about having that honest self-awareness of our own littleness without God. That's what that word means, having a sense of our littleness. The displacement of self by the enthronement of God. We get out of the way, God is enthroned in place of us being enthroned in our own lives. Jesus said, Matthew 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That word for poor basically means bankrupt. It means destitute, helpless. So blessed are you if you recognize that you are bankrupt in your spirit, that you are destitute without God. The message puts it this way. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. Has anybody felt at the end of their rope at any point? Yeah? Thank you for your honesty at the back there. Yeah, quite frequently. At the end of your rope, you're blessed. You're blessed because with less of you, there's more of God and his rule. It's okay to feel at the end of your rope because it's not your rope. It's not about you and your rope. It's about Jesus. Now, I have to say, this next verse, a couple of verses, is not my favorite, all right? Luke 9, verse 23 and 24, Jesus also said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Not a verse perhaps that we kind of like to repeat regularly. That word for deny there just means to forget oneself, to lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. The Message version says, then he told them what they could expect for themselves. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat, I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? You see, those verses are difficult, but you know what? There's a promise in those verses that when we give up our lives, we get his life. That's a pretty good exchange, folks. When we come to him to surrender our life, when we lose our life for him, we will save it. We will gain it. Do you want to live? Really live? Do you want to find your true self? You know, you're a masterpiece. God created you. You are a masterpiece. But this world we live in, the sin that's in this world, the fact that it's a fallen world means that stuff infects us, affects us, mars us, distorts that image that we have within us, the image of God. God wants to bring us back to the original design, if you like, the beautiful design that reflects his image. That doesn't make it mean making us all the same, not at all, but making you the best version of you that you can be. His image in us has become mucky, if you like, distorted by the muck of the world, the muck, the stuff that we've done, the rubbish. And we need to come to him to allow him to clean that up so that we can then become more like him. You know, I've told my story before about how I lived in fear, anxiety and worry. And I know that the more I became aware of it, the more desperate I became to be free of it. But the other thing that was interesting was I started to ask myself, who am I? Because I was so used to this being a part of me, and I used to excuse it for years, saying that's just me, that's just the way I am. But I kind of thought, well, what am I like? What will I be like without this? Will I even like myself? I don't know who I am. You know, and sometimes the distortion of what sin has done to us, what our failures have done, what influence of the world has done is we lose sight of actually who we really are. We get so used to it. This is just part of me. This is who I am. That actually we don't realize that there's more that God wants to do in us, that actually there's more transformation that can happen and will happen as we surrender our lives to Him. See, we don't really like the words surrender, sacrifice, humility. But as I said at the beginning, what Jesus is really saying to us today is just come, come. He wants us to know Him more. He's calling us into a deeper relationship with Him. He's calling us to go further with Him, to go higher. Do you want more? More of Him means less of us. But let's just think about that for a minute. Less of us, what does that mean? Less of my ideas, less of me being in charge, less of me being concerned about how I feel about stuff, less of my ego, my way, my reputation, my opinions, my comfort, my rights. But it also means less of my doubts, less of my fears, less of my hang-ups, less of my difficulties, my bondages, my issues, my sickness. And what does more of Him mean? Well, who is God? It means more of Him. And God is love. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is holy. God is good. Everything of God we can have more of. Now, to me, that's a pretty good exchange. This is the basis of His appeal to us today. He wants us to experience more of who He is in our lives, to have a greater revelation, as Daryl said last week, of the power that is within us, of who we are in Him. But that comes as we give more of ourselves, because there's an exchange here. We give up more, He fills more. The more we let go of, the more that He can fill. The more we surrender to Him, the more He can change. The more we give Him our hang-ups, our failures, our difficulties, the more He can change us and set us free. He must become greater. He must increase. I must become less. I must decrease. The New Living Translation says, He must become greater and greater. I must become less and less. Can we all just close our eyes for a minute? Because I really feel this message is such a simple message, really. And I know many of us will have heard before messages about surrender and humility. And I know I've spoken on it and others have spoken on it before. But I just really sense the heart of God this morning. It's not about beating us up about our pride. It's not about kind of beating us into submission. Not at all. God's heart this morning is to call us to come to Him, because we recognize that more of Him means less of us. And I've just felt God really speaking to me some clear things that he wants to appeal to us today. Andy, could you come back up and just play as I'm... So I just want to read those things out that I feel that God is wanting to say and wanting to appeal to our hearts. And Lord, I just pray that our hearts will be open to hear Your voice speaking into our hearts today. Lord, that every person here will hear You speaking, come, come, come closer, come closer. There's more, and it's for you. So God wants to say to us today, will you let me have all of you? All of your hang-ups and hurts, all of your fears and insecurities? Will you surrender your need to be in control, your need to know, to understand? Will you let me help you strip away the dead stuff, the things that are holding you back? Will you humble yourself and admit that you don't have life sorted, that you need me? Will you surrender your pride, your self-preservation, your reputation, your need for approval? Will you lay down your self-sufficiency and admit your need for me? For some of you here, God is saying, will you admit that you struggle to believe that I love you? It's a hindrance to you receiving from me. Will you surrender your disappointments? I know you're disappointed with yourselves sometimes, and with others, and with me. Will you surrender your disappointments? Will you lay down your false beliefs, those lies that you've believed about yourself and about me? Will you lay down your past, the hurt, the disappointment, the rejection, the failure? Will you lay down all your successes, your achievements, even those things that we have achieved together? Because there's more. You can't live on past success. Will you bring me your doubts? Lay them down and allow me to grow your faith? Will you admit that you're needy, thirsty, hungry, empty, spiritually bankrupt? Just come, surrender, lay yourself down. Let me in. Let me take it all. Let me break what is holding you back. You don't have to understand it all. Just bring it to me. I have dealt with it all at the cross. Will you bring the broken pieces of your life and let me mold you again, fill you again? Come and surrender. Humble yourself before me and I will lift you up. Lay your life down so I can give you life. Let me show you what I can do when I can increase because you are decreasing. I want to give you real life, abundant life. I want to give back what the enemy has stolen from you, the life that I always intended that we would share together, but has been distorted by sin and the broken world you live in. Will you come? Will you come to me? Just want to give an opportunity this morning for us to do that, to come. If you feel that any of that has spoken to you this morning, or maybe something else that Jesus has been whispering in your ear, will you come this morning? You know, I really believe, as Daryl has been saying, that responding breaks something, it achieves something. Will you come this morning? Come and admit your need of Jesus afresh today. Come and surrender all of you, that you may have all of him. Just to say, more of you, Lord, less of me, more of you, less of me. As the band just come and join Andy and they lead us in a song, I just want to encourage you just to come to Jesus. He's appealing to us this morning, come. It's his heart's desire that we would come. He wants to do so much more. And all he asks is that we come. You know, if you prayed that prayer this morning for the first time, you can come. You can come and just surrender to Jesus this morning if you want to do that. Otherwise, there will be other opportunity at the end. Please come and we will speak with you. But you can come if you feel this morning you need to do that. Come and receive. Allow Jesus to fill you. I believe that as we come, there's a release. There's a change that can begin in us. And yes, this isn't a one-off thing, is it, folks? Many of us have done this many times before. We need to do it again and again and again and again. More of you, Lord, less of me. More of you, Lord, less of me. But just come. If you feel that this morning, please just come.